Yes, hello. It's Jason Liu, and this is the 39th episode of the Ultra Culture podcast. And I've got a special gift for you this time. I've been playing around with the format a little bit and taking some suggestions from the forum, from people who have become Patreon subscribers. And one of the things that people keep telling me is they really enjoy when I do solo cast episodes. And somebody actually had the idea that I should release a course that I did called Introduction to Magic as a podcast. So Introduction to Magic is a 1-hour introductory course that I taught a couple years ago, which lays out all the fundamental groundwork that you need to get started with a real magical practice. And it also explains exactly what magic actually is in a way that I think anybody can understand and apply to their life and is not woo and is not spooky and is not some goth thing. This course is, I think, one of the best introductory explanations that exists of what magic actually is. And it's the one that I wish I would have had when I was first starting out. It's also a preview, of course, of all of the longer courses that I have at magic.me. But this podcast is actually going to have everything that you need to get started, to build the groundwork of an actual practice, what I like to call a vehicle. You know, magic is a vehicle that allows you to get from point A to point B. I really like that term. I took it from Tibetan Buddhism. Some schools of Tibetan Buddhism like to use the phrase vehicle to describe a teaching system, a method of teaching that's designed to get you to a certain place. And the emphasis there is that it's not actually the vehicle that's important. The important part is getting from point A to point B. And I think that magic, Western magic, is an excellent vehicle and teaching method for people who live in the modern world, who live in the westernized world, the hyper-connected, digitized world, and are largely concerned with the problems of day-to-day life. They're not monastic. They're not living in a mountain retreat somewhere. They're engaged in the world. They have families. They have jobs. They have friendships. They have responsibilities, hobbies, all the things that make up life. And yet they're trying to create a more meaningful experience. They're trying to grow spiritually. They're trying to figure out what it's all about, what life is about, what the universe is, how they fit into it, and how they can have a happy life. Magic is a great vehicle for doing this, and it's the one that I use to teach. So this introductory course was originally a webinar, and I made it available on YouTube a while ago, but the YouTube video is kind of choppy quality because it was recorded on old webinar software. I've done a significant amount of work cleaning up the audio, making it sound much better, taking out a lot of the unnecessary sounds and things like that. So I think that I've resuscitated this gem. People were really encouraging me to do this. I've resuscitated this gem and turned it into something that you're now going to be able to enjoy as a podcast and take it with you as you, you know, whatever you do when you're listening to podcasts, working out, driving to work, doing the dishes. That's how I listen to podcasts. So that's how I imagine other people do too. So the audio is not perfect. It is the audio from a recorded webinar. So there's a few little glitches and beeps and things like that here and there. But I think I got it pretty good. And I know that you're really, really going to enjoy this. So this is designed to give you a taste, a little introductory flavor of my teaching style. And it's really a preview of the courses that are at magic.me. So that's magic.me, which is my school for magic. If you've listened to this podcast, you've probably heard me talking about it a lot. And that school goes deep. This podcast is just going to give you a little introductory taste, but that school has everything there. There's courses on tarot, yoga, meditation, chaos magic, ceremonial magic, astral projection, everything, you know, everything that is discussed in this introductory course and lots, lots more. So after you get through this introduction and you want to learn more, the best place to go is obviously magic.me, and it'll just be a smooth continuum between this introduction and studying more in depth there. There's about a dozen and a half courses there now, and There's also a subscription package that allows you to consume all of them infinitely. They're also broken down into 5-minute units, so you can consume courses and learn even on a crazy busy schedule. Like if you work a job or 2 jobs or 3 jobs, or you're in school, or you've, you know, just got a hectic life, a family, anything like this. The school is constructed so that you can learn on your own time. You can take 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there, a unit here, a unit there on breaks, and the skills build like a pyramid. You build the base of the pyramid and then you refine your skills, and it's a real progression. It's a real system and a method that I've made, and my students really, really enjoy it. My students are progressing very, very quickly. They're really loving it. I'm proud of a lot of the progress that my students have made. The students have actually been building a great community on the Discord that's connected to this podcast and the school. They've been doing some great group activities like group study projects, and actually they've just been organizing group movie nights where they're using an app to all watch esoteric movies together. That's pretty exciting. And things are going really, really well. I'm really happy about it. And of course, there's lots more coming. There's much more substantial courses coming. All of my effort is going into building up basically this podcast and the school. That's where my mind is at right now, outside of some extra projects. Now that my book is out, John Dee and the Empire of Angels, and the promotion is largely complete for that. So really exciting times ahead, both for this podcast and for the school, and it's all kind of coming together and working as one gestalt. Okay, so definitely check out magic.me if you haven't already. If you are not subscribed to the podcast yet, also definitely make sure you're subscribed on iTunes or wherever else you can subscribe to podcasts. It's basically everywhere now. Okay, so without any further ado, I present to you this director's cut remastered version of my classic Introduction to Magic course. And I'm looking forward to seeing you in class for the full courses at magic.me very soon.
What is magic? Short answer to that question, you are a magical phenomenon that the universe has created to experience itself. Right? Very simply, there is in the core of every human being a creative, divine, chaotic essence from which all forms, symbols, thoughts, ideas, and moments of genius, all of our highs and lows, angels and demons, darkness and light, all of that proceeds from the creative divinity within ourselves. And I'm going to try and not use too much religious language, but it's something that you might call God, right? Is in all of us, every single one of us, just as much as it is in the universe as a whole, right? So this poses two questions. A, how do we tap that source of creativity? And B, why are we not doing that so far? If you read conspiracy literature, if you read paranoid websites, if you read esoteric writers, a lot of esoteric writers will convince you that we somehow live in some type of constructed trap where the Illuminati or the 1% or whoever it is keeping us down. This is not true, right? There are certainly many problems in the world, but our problem for the purpose of magic, for the purpose of this course, is understanding how to harness our own innate creativity, divinity, and internal chaos. Chaos meaning creation, not disorder. How do we do that? How do we stop being lazy? How do we discipline ourselves? How do we tap into the infinity within ourselves? While understanding that nobody is stopping us from doing that except ourselves. Right? How do we do that? Cultures all over the world, particularly in Asia, have recommended the foundational practice of meditation. Meditation meaning stopping thought, stopping thinking, stopping discursive or reactive thought within our own mind. There are many layers of conditioning which overlay the divinity within us. There is social conditioning, parental conditioning. There is our astrological conditioning. All the stories that we tell ourselves about why we can't be the person that we know we were destined to be, right? And all of that stuff is a set of nested stories, stories that either we tell ourselves or that were told to us by other people when we were small or in our current lives, right? About why we are less than we should be. And we don't have to buy any of those. You do not have to be anybody that was sold to you. You do not have to be the person that you think you just are underneath all of it. Brass tacks principles, we have within us infinite creativity. We come into this world with no conditioning as essentially divine beings, and slowly over the course of our life, we forget that because we go through parental conditioning, we go through school, we go out into the working world, we have peers who condition us. All of these things, entertainment, the internet, Facebook, all of these things layer on more and more stories about who we are and who we can be. So how do we, I'm not going to say overcome this, but how do we take control of this? There are two ways to do this. They're symbolized by the Latin words solve and coagula, right? Solve means to dissolve, right? So deconditioning. The initial processes of magic are meant to decondition the mind, to let go of all the stories that we think are us, right? And the way that that's done is meditation. Coagula means to coagulate, to reform into a new form once we've deconditioned ourselves. And the way that that's done is by ritual magic. That's one way to do it, right? So solve, meditation, or letting go of who we think we are, letting go of everything that keeps us from the infinite, the divine source, right? And coagula, or recoagulating into a new form that better suits our will for this incarnation. Magic, right? And ritual magic and ceremonial magic are only one form of magic. I can also include within that any willed action which reformulates a new personality, right? Any willed action which puts you more in line with who you know you with you want you are, right? Your true self. Now, what have I left out of that? What I've left out of that is sorcery. Sorcery, which you will find in lots of grimoires or books on magic, traditional medieval books on magic, is the idea that you can use magic powers to affect the universes of other people. This is not true. You cannot do this, right? Unless somebody else allows you to, right? Magic is not about getting your way. And I want to make that very clear. It is not about imposing your will on other people or getting an advantage from other people. It will not do these things for you, right? It will not give you secret power to bend other people. What it will do is more deeply integrate you with your true self and more deeply integrate you with the universe and more deeply align you with your true purpose for this existence. And the more that you do that, the more that you let go of things that are not in line with your true will, and the more that you embrace and discipline yourself to enact things that are your true will, the better life gets, the less friction there is in life, and that the more playful the universe becomes, the more magical the universe becomes. When you're in the slipstream of your purpose, your higher purpose, your higher self, the universe becomes magical. Doors open when they're supposed to open. The buses run on time. You end up being in the right place at the right time always. You meet the right people to be in your life to support you in what you're doing. Now, I'm not saying this is easy, or rather, I'm not saying that the process of deep integration with true self is easy. It is anything but. It is perhaps the hardest thing to do. However, the more discipline and work you put into that, meaning the path of magic and the path of meditation, the more magical life becomes and the more effortless life seems to become. Discipline, all discipline and work you put into the self, in waking yourself up, in building a version of yourself that is a magical, in-line, aligned person, integrated, healthy, adult, stable, mature, right? The more you do work on yourself to let go of your own internal deficiencies and failings and shortcomings understanding that nobody will do that for you, and ultimately you cannot blame anybody else for your shortcoming, the more work you do on yourself, the more the universe responds. It's a classic truism in chaos magic that the universe wants to play. The universe particularly wants to play with big children, ones who take responsibility for their own lives, their own actions, and live in a way which is not only aligned with the universe, but which brings positivity, happiness, and growth to the people around them. Now, you may notice some of that seems like New Age thinking, okay? Now, I want to clearly, without knocking the New Age, I want to make a clear distinction between what I'm teaching and New Age thinking, which mostly comes out of a lot of things, but particularly theosophy and the New Thought movement in the 1920s, essentially says that your thoughts create reality, right? New Age thinking says that if you just think happy thoughts and you just think positive, the universe will be positive. This is a tiny fraction of the truth, right? Now, that's true on its own plane, but the magical path, the Western esoteric tradition, is a set of disciplines for disciplining everything, right? Starting from understanding your divine essence, proceeding to properly editing, writing, and aligning the story of who you are and your life, progressing into things like positive thinking, thought control, controlling your own thoughts, making sure that you're only thinking thoughts that fit your will, and finally proceeding all the way into the physical world. This is crucial, right? Proceeding into the physical world in physical discipline, yoga, for instance, Hatha yoga, meditation practice, advanced meditation practices, ritual magic, meaning the ritual, artistic, theatrical enactment of symbolic actions meant to represent what you want to happen in your life, right? Which you can do in a cookie cutter fashion from, for instance, the textbooks of the Golden Dawn or Aleister Crowley or chaos magic, or you can create on your own. Artists have an intuitive sense of how to do this. And of course, many artists come from an intuitive, magical perspective, proceeding to things like sexual magic, harnessing your own sexual energies towards fulfilling your goals, fulfilling your will, right? Or your own spiritual growth, right? And that's a whole other range of topics. To essentially, magic is not just about how you're thinking, right? It's about disciplining everything. It's about turning every single facet of your life towards one single goal. Right? And in the beginning stages of the path, that goal is very simple. That goal is union with God, right? Union with your higher self, which is a reflection of God. And the disciplines of yoga and meditation and ritual magic are all meant to do that. They're not meant to turn you into a millionaire or good looking or surround yourself with sexual partners, right? You can do all that stuff, but that stuff is beside the point. You would be better, that type of results magic, you would be better off just doing mundane means to get that stuff, right? That's not what magic is. Magic is about seeing your life as a ritual, your entire life, from the job you do, the people you associate with, the books you read, the way you entertain yourself, downtime, dreams, your meditation, how you have sex, everything, right? Everything. The more you discipline yourself in magic, the more you understand life itself as a magical process. And the props and tools of magic, from meditation processes to rituals, are essentially training wheels for entraining a magical mode of thinking in which you begin to understand existence itself as a magical process, as a process of your own awakening, growth, and unfolding, right? As an individual better able to express the creative essence, the seed of God that has been placed within you by the universe, and that can then lead by example, that can then be a good example for other people by existing, right? So this is not something that people get converted to. It is not a path for the masses, right? Now, I work very hard to push this, but it's not a path for the masses simply because the masses usually do not have the discipline to do it, right? What it is a path for rugged individuals, people who want more, people who are not satisfied with just getting by, who are not satisfied with just doing the bare minimum, just going to work and coming home and playing Xbox, right? If you're looking for a shortcut, this is not it, right? Magic makes your life harder, right? But much more fulfilling and much more meaningful. It is life as a full contact extreme sport. Life as a discipline, essentially. Life as the great game. So magic is for self-directed, self-willed, self-educated people, or self-educating people who are willing to every day make a consistent effort to continually push themselves higher and farther, knowing that they will fail, knowing that it will not work every time, knowing that they will build models of self that don't work for a long time until they get it right, right? Being willing to accept embarrassment and failure and the judgment of other people, right? Because this is not a path that most people understand. Being willing to walk the high path, the high road, right? No matter what other people may say or think, right? Because everyone's got an opinion and everyone will tell you you're consorting with the devil or whatever, but it's not true, right? But people will say that. So it's for people who are strong enough to turn their back on the lazy sleep of the world, who are not content to just zone out to watching Walking Dead on Netflix until they are the Walking Dead, right? But want to fully throw themselves at the universe and fully wake up, right? And that does not manifest as having all the robes and all the rings and knowing all the secret Kabbalistic information and being super spooky. The best magician is usually the one that no one would ever suspect is interested in these things, right? The best magician is not the one who looks like Anton LaVey, right? It's somebody who looks like the VP of marketing at some company who just happens to be really, really, really good at their job, right? Because it happens to be their dharma, their true will, right? And they're fully embracing it, right? So I am teaching magic in the world, and this is meant as an introductory course. And my vision for the continued growth of magic, the continued magical renaissance, is strong, stable individuals who are not at odds with society, unless that happens to be their will, but who are more disciplined, more Boy Scout-like, right, than the average person, right? More upstanding, dignified, more responsible for themselves, the people around them, and their communities, because that is something that outflows, that outpours from self-discipline, from the disciplines of magic. Because when you become a magician, you can't blame anybody else anymore, right? You can't point the finger at society, your parents, anything, really, God, anything. You can't blame anymore. All that you can do is continue to discipline yourself, to work with your circumstances, which are different for all of us, the karmic circumstances of your birth and surrounding, to make the best version of you that you can possibly make. And that's what it's about, right? Building the best version of you possible by the disciplines of meditation and magic, and by extension, improving the universe around you just by doing that, improving your surroundings just by doing that, and in a stable way that does not produce blowouts. And blowouts are usually produced by pushing too hard, too fast, using drugs, or trying to affect other people's reality with magic. As long as you stay to the clear, slow, sober, disciplined path of regular meditation and regular ritual, like regular banishing and invoking rituals, sigils, and all, we'll cover all this stuff in a second, you won't have any problems other than dealing with your own shadow, essentially, right? There's enough for you to do in integrating all the parts of your own psyche into a cohesive whole. There's more work. All the work you need is right there. You don't need to go crusading in the world, trying to change the world or trying to affect other people. Now, that's the general sales pitch. Historically, what is magic? If we trace it all the way back, there are magical practices in every single culture in the world, right? From Kabbalah and Judaism to Gnostic Christianity and the Christian faith to Sufism and Islam to Advaita Vedanta and the tantric practices in Hinduism, the tantric practices in Buddhism to indigenous shamanism, Native American shamanism. Name your culture. It is usually reserved for those who are called to it, and not everyone is called to it, right? So humanity has been doing this since the beginning, right? What I'm teaching, magic, capital M, M-A-G-I-C-K, is a technical term for the ritual practices at the heart of the Western esoteric tradition. So essentially what I'm teaching, I teach many practices from many different cultures, including Hinduism and Buddhism. But when I say magic with a capital M, what I'm teaching is the Western esoteric tradition, which goes back to, it goes back to Sumeria and Zoroastrianism, progressing through the magical practices of Egypt, right, of which there were a huge wide range, which has been passed on as the Kabbalah in Judaism, progressing on through Gnostic Christianity, which flourished in the first few centuries AD before the establishment of the church by Constantine as a cohesive whole, was essentially the psychedelic and ritual, a set of psychedelic and ritual practices for direct contact with Christ, the Logos, the Godhead, right? Which was an underground tradition reserved for a few, but was an essentially Christian shamanism. Now these practices, which we've only begun to understand recently, but by things like digging at the Dead Sea Scrolls and the Nag Hammadi codices in the 40s, this Christian magical tradition was stamped out by the establishment of the church and later during the Crusades. One of the Crusades was specifically to wipe out the Cathars and Albigensians, who were the medieval Dark Ages survival of the Gnostics. This tradition goes underground throughout the first millennium AD and resurfaces as Freemasonry, Rosicrucianism, the work of Dr. John Dee, who was an angel summoner, angel scryer. There were many angel scryers and angelic magicians operating throughout the second half of the second millennium AD, usually in high society, and coalescing in its final form as the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn in Victorian England, which essentially aligned all of the esoteric knowledge of Western culture available at that time, from Hebrew Kabbalah to Tarot to John Dee's Enochian magic, geomancy, and many more. It was from this group that Aleister Crowley emerged and formulated the theory of thelema, which is largely how I teach, although I am not a member of any thelemic organizations or connected with organized thelema in any way whatsoever. I'm simply in his ideas as some ideas among many, which is the idea of using magic for the true will, for unveiling your true will in life. In the 70s, the idea of chaos magic became very popular, which essentially said throw out all the rules and simply take magic down to the bare brass tacks of altered states of consciousness and your own self-created ritual. The Western esoteric tradition, as I teach it, is something that I have studied for 15, almost 20 years now. And I give to you a distilled version of all of these practices that I have made modern for the current world, and that I'm resituating and recontextualizing in life as it lived in the 21st century. And all of the classes on magick.me there are, I think, 10 or 11 classes archived at this point. You can take classes there on, they're all about 5 hours long. There's a huge wealth of material there on getting into the real specifics of ritual magic, yoga, higher yogas, meditative practices, astrology, tarot, Kabbalah, all of this stuff. And I'm continuing to weekly at this point teach on all of these subjects. Obviously, all of this is very complex and falls out of the purview of this 1 hour introductory course, but it is all there for you to take at magic.me. However, for this class, I am going to give you the basics on how to get started in doing this. So, this you will want to write down. To become a magician, the first thing you need to do is declare to the universe that this is what your will, right? So, go outside in the night, look up at the sky. Now, this is just a ritual I've come up with, right? But it's important to declare out loud by speaking your intention to enter this path to the universe. If it is your will, if you get into this path out of curiosity, out of boredom, or wanting to see if it will bring you money or riches or sex or whatever, with specific goals like that, you're in for a tough time. Okay. If you are not sure that this is a path for you, do not, because you don't know what you're asking for, right? It is a serious discipline. However, if you are called to this path, and you feel that there was no choice for you but to enter this path, then announce to the universe your will in doing this, right? So go out and say, it is my will to enter the path of magic. If it is right for me, and if it is not, please show this to me. But if it is, then please straighten my path and show me the proper way in which to engage with these technologies for my highest good and the highest good of the universe, right? First step, announcing your intention. Second, you want to go to Barnes & Noble or wherever and buy two blank books. I personally like to get big art sketchbooks that are like kind of like fake leather bound. They're usually like $10 and they just have blank pages, but you want anything that can act as a permanent record. You want spiral bound or things that are going to fall apart. You want something that's going to be permanent, right? So I recommend two fake leather bound books. Don't go too overboard, but get two, right? One of these is a magical record. The other is a dream record. Okay. So once you've done this, take the first one, put it next to your bed. Take the second one and put it somewhere where you can carve out space in your living environment for a place that is dedicated to meditation, right? So, discipline number one. Every morning when you wake up, write down your dreams in the dream record, which is the one that you put next to your bed. It will be hard for you at first. Don't do anything after you wake up. Make sure the first thing you do is write down your dreams. Otherwise, the more you do, if you get up and shower, brush your teeth, anything like that, you'll start to forget, right? So you want to write down your dreams immediately. The more that you do this, the more that you will gain recall and control of the dream plane, right? The more you pay attention to your dreams and write them down in as minute of detail as you can manage, the more your dreams will become vivid, wake up, and reveal new magical vistas to you. A lot of people say, oh, I can't remember my dreams, I can't lucid dream. If you begin disciplining yourself to record your dreams, this plane will open to you. And the dream plane is where you can get deep messages from your unconscious to yourself about what you need to be doing. It's where you can interact with entities or your higher self. It's essentially the astral plane, right? Your easiest egress to what's called the astral plane, or the world of magic and spirits and entities and divine beings, right? So every morning, write down your dreams. Practice number two, in your meditative, you want to create a meditative area. Now, if you have the means, that can be a room in your house. It can be a walk-in closet area. If you don't have the means, it can be just a corner of your room or a curtained off area, right? It can be as simple as a cushion in the corner of your room. But you want to establish a safe and sacred space, which is used specifically for meditating and doing ritual. If you can, you can form some type of physical circle around it, if that makes sense. That can be anything from a circle rope on the ground to a chalk or grease pencil drawing of a circle around that area. Or it can be, like I said earlier, a curtain or some type of fabric around the area. But you want to make a clear delineation of that space from the rest of the world, right? That's your magical circle. That's your power seat. It's from that area that you will now do all ritual actions dedicated to further unlocking and unfolding your own being, right? And you don't want to allow any other external influences into that area that do not pertain to your magical path. So don't put cups or random stuff in there, and don't allow other people to enter that space, right? That's just for you. It's just for magic. Don't put anything else in there. Keep it clean. Keep it sacred. Keep it sanctified. So practice number three. Begin a daily meditation practice, starting with 5 minutes a day. Sit in that space. Now, you may have a cushion in that space, or they sell cushions with a chair back. You can get one of those, or a Zen cushion, something like that, something that is comfortable for you to sit on. Sit on it with a straight back, erect posture, right? Just folded legs. For now, it's fine. Don't get into anything fancy in terms of yoga posture. Just sit, hold the legs in that circle, and make sure it's comfortable for you. If you can't do that, then a chair, a straight back chair is okay, right? Or whatever is most appropriate for you. But we're just going to assume cross-legged on the floor. Get a timer. Put the timer in the circle. Keep your magical record in that circle. 5 minutes a day, meditate. Okay. The best way to do this, focus on this point between your eyebrows. Block out any other thoughts. Well, don't block them out, but thoughts will arise as you, your goal is to silence your thinking. And the more that you do that, the more thoughts will arise. You will think of your shopping list. You will think of a fight you had. You will think of something that happened to you 20 years ago. You'll think of what you have to do tomorrow or somebody that you have to email. All this stuff will come to you. Just let it go, right? Let it go. Let it go. As thoughts arise, let them go. 5 minutes a day, right, to begin with, but every day. At the end of those 5 minutes, write down the times you meditated, what you felt, anything out of the ordinary that occurred. Keep a very tight, close record of that. As tight and detailed as if you were keeping, as if you were the accountant for a multinational corporation, right? And as precise as if you were a scientist working on a major government project, right? Do not be wishy-washy. Do not be loopy in your practices. Do not be airy-fairy, as in keep to the details. 1 week, 5 minutes a day, every day, right? No breaks, without fail. You will probably want to establish a set time. Could be first thing you do when you wake up. That's usually the best, right? We all work hectic schedules. So if it has to be on a lunch break at work, then that's okay. If you need to go into your car to do it on a lunch break at work, then do it, right? But pick something that you can stick to. You can also do it when you come home at night, although that's usually less productive because you're kind of burnt out at that point. It's good to do it when your mind is still fresh. So I recommend first thing in the morning, but adapt your practice to your circumstances. Do not allow yourself to be convinced that you can't do something because of your circumstances. Everything can be adapted. Make it, will it to happen, and find a way to do it, right? Where there's a will, there's a way. 5 minutes a day of meditation, anybody can do, right? So 1 week of 5 minutes a day, every day. Keep it recorded, right? If you miss a day, go back. Do another week and keep doing this until you've got it every day, right? Once you've done this 7 days in a row for a week, increase the time, 10 minutes a day, right? And do that until you've done a week. When you've done a week, not missing a day, 15, then 20, 25, 30. After maybe 3 or 4 months, realistically, of practice, let's say after 3 to 6 months of practice, you should be able to meditate half an hour a day, right? And half an hour a day should not be an overstrain on anybody's time. Anybody can do that, right? Half an hour a day meditation in the morning. Focus here, silence thought. The more you do this, the more clear and present you will become, the more effective you will become in every discipline in your life, the more that you will be able to, the less you will be reactive to stresses in your environment, the less things will get to you, the less things will annoy you, the less things will distract you from your path, will distract you from your spiritual discipline or your professional duty, right? Also, the better your dream control will become, right? Practice 3. Once you've gotten to half an hour a day, begin to create sigils. Now, sigils are too big of a topic to cover within the next 12 minutes. However, I have a whole free ebook on this you can download. No cost, obviously, it's free. If you don't have it, go to magic.me, magic.me, and click the free ebook button. It's a whole colorful PowerPoint on how to do this, right? And a sigil is essentially a condensed magical symbol, which you create to get something to happen within your own life. And the book has full instructions on how to do that. Begin to create for things that you would like to have happen in your life, right? And if you don't know what to do, do a line that you start to create a sigil for aligning with your true will, right? Aligning with your divine purpose, something to that effect, or union with God, union with the universe, union with the path that you are meant to live in life. Create a magical symbol for that, and now begin to meditate on this, because at this point, when you're in half an hour in of meditation, you will A, have developed an incredible clarity and focus of mind, and B, begun to experience altered states of consciousness, which I will say are not the point. The point is the discipline and the focus, but you will experience trance states and altered states Do not get hung up on them. Do not mistake them for the goal. They're just interesting things that happen. However, they can be harnessed for magic. But more importantly, use your clarity of mind and your focus to focus on this symbol. Now meditate on this symbol for half an hour a day instead of just here. Right? Things will begin to happen. Note these very carefully in your diary. I'm not going to say what because I don't want to pre-set it for you. I don't want to give you preconceptions. Things will begin to happen in your life. I will tell you that coincidences and meaningful coincidences or synchronicities will accelerate. Things will happen in your life that seem like direct messages to you from the universe. Do not get hung up on these either. They are not the point. Also, do not think that you now have some special power. You're just approaching life in a different way. Aleister Crowley says in Liber O, one of his early books, that when you do magic, things will happen that seem impossible or beyond the bounds of what you thought possible for reality. I'm paraphrasing. However, he says, do not, under any circumstances, become obsessed with these results. Just let them pass by just as if they were floating thoughts through your mind. Right? These are called siddhis, S-I-D-D-H-I-S in the yogic tradition. And the aspirant is constantly warned to not get hung up on them. They just happen. Let them float away. Do not chase them. Do not try to cultivate them. Right? They're not the point. The point is developing more focus, developing a quieter mind, developing clarity of thought. Right? And finally, to stop thinking. This is one of the final total goals. Stop thinking. Right? So the more you meditate, the less you will have to think. However, the better you will perform. People at the peak of their career, from Michael Jordan to Bill Gates, will tell you that all of their greatest wins and successes in life have come in a flow or no mind state. Human beings are at their most effective when they are not thinking. And when I say not thinking, I mean mindless or just going along with what someone else told you. I mean being so focused and so disciplined and trained in what you're doing that your mind simply disappears and you disappear in performing the action. And we've all experienced this at certain points in our, at different times in our life. Magic is a way of cultivating that flow state, as is meditation. If you look at the people at the peak of their field in, or the peak of their career in any field, you will see people who are dedicated and skilled meditators. You will find that they tell you that is the secret to their success in all over the world, right? Steve Jobs was a deep meditator. His final gift to the world was the book Autobiography of a Yogi. He gave that to everyone at his funeral. It was the only book on his iPad. Meditation in the Vedic tradition was the key to everything, right? And we're talking about one of the greatest business giants of the 20th century. So this is not just a subcultural thing. It is not a countercultural thing. It is woven into the fabric of the world, right? People who are at the peak of their careers, the peak of their field, are disciplined in meditation and disciplined in silencing their mind. And human beings are at their most effective when they are lost, they are in a flow state, and their ego disappears into what they are doing, into performing the action that they are meant to perform. And that is magic. That's a magical state. And this is what you're cultivating, right? Or whatever it is that you're using this for in your life, in your career. So magic, the disciplines of ceremonial magic, are training wheels for being able to do this. For being able to be so focused that you disappear into the act of what you're doing, almost into an altered state, so that you can do things that look like magic, right? So you can do things in the world which have a magical effect on everything around you. And you can progress in it fairly quickly. However, as you progress in this, you may also, as you begin to get good at this, as you begin to get very good at A, silencing your mind, and B, focusing it on one goal, which can be visualized as a magical symbol to the exclusion of all else. When you can harness your mind to one goal, to one, making one thing happen and push everything else out that is not that, when you can use the entire processing power of your mind, of your soul, of your body on one objective, you can do magical, you can move mountains. You know, faith can move mountains. You use your entire organism to do one thing, right? All of your processing power. There's nothing you cannot do. given enough time and resources, right? And that is magic. The better you get at this, the more your ego will inflate, the more you will begin to become convinced that you have some type of magical power that other people don't have, or that you have some type of special nature. You are not better than other people. You are only using 100% of your processing power on one task, and that is something that anybody could do if they were disciplined enough. So don't let your ego fuck you up by convincing you that you're special. You're not. If you find yourself becoming convinced that you're now special, usually what will happen is you will stop your disciplines. You will stop meditating. You will stop recording your dreams. You will stop learning to focus on sigils, and you will slip and slide into the obsession and the delusion of thinking that you are special. And you will see this, you can see this all throughout the occult community, from people who decided they're grand high wizard of they're the next Aleister Crowley, to women who decide that they're the incarnation of the goddess, or they're the goddess Kali here on earth for a specific reason, or whatever it is. You see it everywhere. Reject it completely. Return to daily discipline. It's just like brushing your teeth or getting good at playing violin. Nothing more, nothing less. But a human being able to use 100% of their processing power on one task can do magical things. Right? So that's a pretty quick overview of the path. That really encapsulates it. And I think that to limit this to an hour has really forced me to cut out all of the superficial and the bullshit. And I think that's been very productive. From this foundation, you can continue to progress into advanced things, like, for instance, lucid dreaming, the ceremonial magic of the Golden Dawn or the Crowley Orders. You can advance into shamanism. You could advance into astral projection. You can advance into the pure alchemical processes of distilling the true will itself. Many of these things are now, there's modules in how to do these things on magic.me. So if you want to learn those things, that stuff is there for you to watch whenever you want, right? And I will continue to teach more and more and more advanced techniques because there's a huge range of them. However, what I've just told you is brass tacks. It's the foundation on which everything else is built and the foundation to which everything else returns, right? Dreamwork, meditation, sigils, training your mind with these techniques to focus 100% of your processing power on one goal to the exclusion of all else. This is magic. Now, when you start getting into this, especially for ego inflation reasons, it's best to keep it to yourself. Do not run around telling people that you're a magician. Do not run around telling people that you're the reincarnation of Jesus or whatever, or you're the new Crowley or you're the goddess or whatever, right? Approach it like learning the violin and just do it and keep it to yourself at first. If people ask you about it, tell them. But you don't need to wave your flag in the world. You don't need to convert other people. You don't need to wake up other people. This is not a path. It's not like this Christian idea of everyone needs to do the same thing to be saved, right? This is not that. This is a discipline like learning the violin. Not everyone is into it, and that's okay, right? Focus on yourself. Focus on entraining your mind, and that's a daily, never-ending task. It's incredibly difficult and incredibly rewarding. It is the primary task, right? Everything that I discussed. And you will see this philosophy not just in books of the occult, but you will see this in business books. You will see this in inspirational books. You'll see this in self-help or relationship advice books. Once you are, and you particularly, you will see this in the autobiographies and biographies of great people who have been great successes in life. We'll tell you this one principle of harnessing and focusing the mind. So build this foundation. And keep it simple. That will be of far more use to you than getting super complicated with things like the Golden Dawn or Kabbalah or ceremonial magic, at least at first. This is the axle of the wheel, foundational grounds of practice from which all else proceed, regardless of what system or culture is coming from. So that's my 1 hour introduction to magic. Now I'm happy to take questions, at least for a while. Okay, what's the goal for recording dreams? As you record your dreams, you will begin to get messages from your quote-unquote higher self, right? Your dreams are a forum in which you can now talk to the deeper levels of yourself, in which you get messages that are not from biased sources. that are not from your friends, your family, your coworkers, Facebook. They're messages from your soul to your mind, right? So let me repeat that. Your dreams are a medium for your soul to send messages to your mind. Or if we want to be materialistic about it, for unconscious material to arise into the conscious mind. That is deep material. That is stuff that is deep core stuff that is core to who you are underneath all the layers of conditioning, right? So in your dreams, as you get more focused, you will begin to get clear messages about what you should do. You will begin to get clear messages about your anxieties and fears. Now, that doesn't mean you should take your dreams literally, but they are metaphors and mystery plays that will begin to show and unfold your own personal internal magical landscape and language to you. Right? Does yoga count as meditation? Okay, technically yoga is meditation. Traditional yoga, Beta yoga. Now, if you go to magic.me, there's a course called Hardcore Yoga, which is 5 hours long, which covers the traditional 8 limbs of yoga, which is basically a magical training system. Yoga is meditation. And Hatha yoga, which is what's taught in the West, meaning bendy, stretchy yoga pants yoga, downward facing dog yoga, is essentially stretching. It's meant as a preparatory exercise so that your body is relaxed and does not distract you while you're holding a still long periods of time to meditate, right? So yoga in itself, meaning Hatha yoga, stretchy bendy yoga, right, is a excellent practice, but it is a foundational practice for the disciplines of magic and meditation. You can't go wrong doing yoga, right? It's great. It's great for health, appearance, focus, clarity of mind, happiness, all of the spiritual growth, all of this stuff. But don't make the mistake that it is the practice itself. It's not meditation. It's a foundational practice for that kind of builds a base of the pyramid for everything else. But it's not meditation. So it doesn't replace daily meditation. Okay, Jeff says, can you recommend any tools or methods for helping oneself understand the dreams, sometimes cryptic symbology? I think the best way to do it is just write it down every day, and because you will not understand them at first. Usually, I'll go back 3-4 months later. That's when I'll understand what a dream is saying. Usually, when you first write it down, it's too confusing, but it will make sense later on, right, with a bit of time between you and it. So that's the best one. Just keep writing it down and going back and looking. You'll begin to see this commonality of symbols. You'll begin to understand your dreams. I don't necessarily recommend books of, for instance, dream symbol interpretation, because somebody else's symbolic language may not be the same as yours. Just because somebody says that if you dream of a bird, you're afraid of death or whatever, that doesn't necessarily mean that's the case. Start with shamanically working with your own dreams and taking them on their face value, on their own merit, right? And trying to understand them on their own terms. Later on, if one gets into things like tarot or the Kabbalah, one will begin to dream in specific, or runes or other initiatory systems. One will begin to have dreams with specific symbol sets, but that doesn't pertain to this level of the practice. Who are some historical magicians who didn't think they were special? Usually you don't hear of them, right? Well, the whole magic, there's, let me think about that for a second. There's not a whole lot, right? The ones you generally want to avoid are the theosophical ones who think that, when we're talking about ascended masters and higher powers and things like that. Franz Barden, maybe. Does mindfulness meditation work well in the beginning? Mindfulness meditation is excellent. It is a separate practice to thought-stopping meditation. Mindfulness meditation comes from Buddhism. Single-pointed awareness comes from Hinduism. Mindfulness meditation is great for focusing, for learning the focus of mind. Single-pointed meditation is preferable, at least for this reason. But mindfulness meditation is great. What are your main criticisms of theosophy in relation to your theories? Theosophy essentially gives you a huge, it was not academically precise. It was essentially made up by Blavatsky. There's a lot of crazy stuff in there. It's a whole cosmology of Star Wars type cosmology of whatever the fuck, but there aren't any real practices offered. I'm not dismissing it. I'm saying there's a lot of stuff in there which is essentially hallucinated or astral material, right? So it's better to, and it, better to focus on your own discipline and developing your own simple set than to get hung up on this whole New Age drama of Ascended Masters and all of that. Okay, Marta asks, which of the courses would you recommend as the next step after today's intro to magic? Okay, thanks for asking that. I think that the basic two, one is Introduction to Chaos Magic. Second is Hardcore Meditation. Right? Introduction to Chaos Magic and Hardcore Meditation. Those cover in depth the skills we've discussed today. From there, I would recommend taking the Lucid Dreaming course and Advanced Chaos Magic. But you don't have to rush into those right away. But from the foundation of today's course, the two most for you will be Introduction to Chaos Magic and Hardcore Meditation. If in doubt, take the meditation one because you can't go wrong with that, right? Okay. Thank you very much for attending this course. Thank you very much for your interest in these ideas. I hope that the material that's already available is useful to you. And I hope to see you in further classes. And if you're on the email list, which you'll be on if you download that ebook, then you'll get announcements on the courses. I hope to see more of you. Thank you very much.
Okay, I hope you really, really enjoyed that. Check out magic.me, magick.me, for more full courses. There's over a dozen and a half courses now at that site, many of which are 5 hours long or more. I mean, there's everything there. It's a tremendous download of information that you just get all as part of one subscription. And honestly, you could spend 20 years trying to piece all that together out of books yourself, or just get the download. Just get the download. It's just easier that way. So it's magic.me, magick.me. I will see you in class, and until then, lots of love, I honor you, and stay awake.